is the UR Business Network.
Welcome back to Mind Your Own Business on the UR Business Network. This is Rick Brody. And today we have my great co-host, Mario.
Good morning,
I'm
Rick.
I'm going to screw up his last name.
That's all right. Castaneda. That's close
Castaneda.
Enough.
Okay. I'm getting there. My Spanish is a little off. Well, Mario, we have a great guest today. We have Patrick Reddick, who's a top turnaround expert from the Reddick Corporation. Hey, Patrick, how are you?
I'm good this morning. Very
Hi,
good.
Patrick. How are you doing?
Patrick.
Very good.
Well, I was looking at your website, and you've done some incredible things. So why don't you start by giving us a little bit of your background and what Reddick's all about?
Well, we are about the CEO. We're about the CEO, and when I get into a company, we go directly to the CEO, not to the numbers, not to the money. We believe that if we can help the CEO get himself back on track, that we have saved the company. And it has proved to be that way over many, many years.
And Patrick, what do you see? What do you do to help turn these around? What's the process?
Well, the first thing we got to do is find out, where the origin of failure was. You might have to go back a little bit to find that out. But that comes over a process of time. The very first thing I do when I get there is I get the CEO out of the office and we start talking about the things that he dreams about, the stuff that was his original vision, And we try to get back to the basics and get back to some of our core customers and get back to the way it was before it went negative. And that process doesn't take very long at all. A guy who started business, a guy who's in business, a guy who was crazy enough to start a business, he remembers why he did it. And he's happy to tell me all about it. And once we get that inspiration back online, I got something to work with. You know what I mean?
Can you bring it back, or are they beaten down so much sometimes that you can't bring life back?
This is the most amazing part of my job. When I get to a guy, seemingly he's out of gas, right? He's upset. All his creditors are after him. His family's after him. Everybody's upset with him. It's been years, too, by the way. This isn't a couple of months. This guy's been trying to fix this company for a long time. And as he does that, people are not on his court. People are not happy with him. And when I get to him, it seems to be that, it's all over, Pat. I'm going to sell my company. Or if nobody will buy it, I guess I'll get a job. And we start talking about those things that were really good, those things that inspired him to start his business in the first place. And I say something insane like, hey, why don't we just take the hill back? And I'm telling you, man, in a few minutes, a guy can look at me who is completely down on his luck and say, okay. And he's got the fire in his eyes. Entrepreneurs are a blast. They're nuts. But for me, when I get there, they're alone until I get there.
Patrick.
And when I get there and know that somebody else is as nutty as they are, they're ready to rock. Isn't that a great job? I've got a great
That's
job.
That's fantastic. Patrick, as a matter of fact, I have a question for you in that area, because having worked with companies such as GE, which is a very cutthroat business and environment, and then having worked with Johnson & Johnson, which is a very collegial atmosphere on campus, and they even call it a campus, not a company headquarters, how do you deal with the CEO and the culture of the company, and what are some of your key, if you will, levers to help that CEO adjust the culture back to where they were when they started?
I use a thing called critical profit, and I invented that one day sitting at a table. And I'll tell you, I was with a CEO that day, not any different than today or any other day. And I said, there are critical things that you need to pay for, and that's all. What are the critical things you need to pay for? Now, this is huge, guys, because everybody forgets about it. It's family first. So you got to pay for your house. You got to pay for your car. Your wife has to have a few things to make sure the family's good. And what do you really need after that? What do you really need? and we get back to a very basic amount of money. Now, the creditors are out there screaming and hollering, but if I don't save the company, the creditors aren't going to get anything. And when I point that out to the CEO, it is very freeing for him. And he decides at that time what it is that's important. And we go to a thing called critical profit. That's hard cost plus $1. And the hard costs for today are just to get through today. I get that guy into just today. What do I got to have today to get through this? What do I have to do just to get through today? And when I get a guy's head around that, I can actually get his wife on board. I can get his customers on board. I can get his clients on board. I can get his creditors on board. If I tell everybody, we're just going to do this thing from the 1st to the 15th. On the 1st, we're going to figure out how much money we owe on the 1st, how much we can get by the company alive up to the 1st. After that, how much does it take to get to the 15th? We do it a very day-by-day basis, critical profit. How much does it take to get through just today? Now, let me explain that most of all of us, not just CEOs, we dimension jump. We go into the future, don't we? We go into the future, say, this is not going to work. It's all bad. The future is glum. There's doom on the horizon.
Are you talking about me, Patrick?
No. I'm talking about all of it, and including you as well. And you know, we can't tell the future. The future is up to heaven. It's not up to us. We don't know what miracles are going to happen, what blessings are going to happen. All we got to do is take care of today, for crying out loud. And it's hard enough to take care of today. Why do we have to jump into the future? Well, it's kind of a human nature thing, and I keep people in the now. And if we stay in the now right now, critical profit, critical to today, how much money do we need today to get through today, people start getting better really fast. And here's a big plus that goes with that. They start laughing.
Nice.
They start smiling. And they say, do you really think we can do this? And I said, oh, no, we got a 0% chance of success. We got no chance of success. So anything that happens from here is definitely one of God's miracles, and you're one of his chosen few. So let's just give it a shot for today. And they laugh.
As we are.
They laugh, you know.
Yeah, Patrick, in terms of the looking at the – obviously, you are looking at the present, and how does that play with the long-range planning of companies as they try to figure out what their objectives are and then trying to reach those? Do you ask them to concentrate on the tactics today and let the long-range objectives take care of themselves? Or maybe you can explain a little bit more about that aspect of your coaching, if you will.
Long-range plans are dangerous. They're dangerous. We got to get to the 1st and the 15th. We do 2 weeks at a time. But yes, and you know, it's a very good question that you ask, and I'm delighted with it because it means that somebody wants to be here tomorrow, that they still have the vision, that they want to be here. They want everything to be good. So the way to make everything good in the future is to make everything good right now. Right now in the day. So the future starts to sort of paint itself. We start becoming aware of a company as another entity. You know, like there's a, we're all on the phone right now talking, and we have become aware of each other.
Correct.
Well, a CEO starts to become aware, maybe for the first time, that his company is just like his buddy. And his buddy has needs, his buddy has dreams, and his buddy has vision. And that company, in a way, starts to talk to my CEO, and he begins to have a relationship with his corporation and the needs of his corporation, and it becomes very exciting for him. And so as he takes care of it day by day, does that answer your question? As he takes care of it day by day, it becomes revealed to him what his company really is.
Now, Patrick, as they get through each day and you show them that it's possible – Do they start, like you said, they start laughing again? Does that help heal the sick company and actually bring it back to health?
Everything that happens in a company comes from the heart and soul of the CEO. And if the heart and the soul of the CEO are sad, the company is sad. Does that make sense?
Yes, it definitely does. Patrick, one question. Obviously, in every company, there are resistors or people who are comfortable with the status quo and they do not want to change for whatever reason. And I think that's human nature. People tend to try to stay in their comfort zone and not stretch out. What do you say to a CEO who maybe has some people who are reporting to him who are very comfortable and do not want to change or make this critical profit aspect and adopting it?
Well, I try to gently say to them, and I try to do it with love. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. I got to say, if you care, you would have fixed it already. If you knew how to fix this, you would have fixed it. If you knew how to help, you would have helped. You've done everything you can do in your best thinking. Your very, very best thinking has yielded a company that is negative and very close to being out of business. Help me help you. Help me. Now, if they say, okay, I'll try it a day at a time, I'm fine with that. If they say absolutely not, that's a bad day. That's a bad day, because sometimes with employees, you know, you have to say you either got to get in with it or you got to get out. You got to get in or get out, because the CEO has to be surrounded with people that are all going the same direction. You know, when you're flying an airplane, you can't really have a pilot that says, hey, let's turn left. And the co-pilot says, no, I'm going to turn right.
That's correct.
You know, and it's kind of like that, you know, and, sometimes I can, you know, for the most part, I can get everybody on board pretty fast because the stuff that I come up with makes sense. With the exception of a few things, the CEO and I, it doesn't make any sense to the employees when I look at the CEO and say, hey, let's go get a cheeseburger and let's go to, let's say, the auto museum and see the Batmobile that just came there. Sometimes I got to get the CEO out of there and say, let's eat some bad food that we're not supposed to eat, and let's go see something really cool and listen to loud music for a little while. And, you know, sometimes my ways are a little unorthodox, but, you know, like I said, I got to keep telling you, this job is a blast because people absolutely get better. I mean, it's amazing. They get better very fast. You know, if anybody's listening out there, and this is resonating in them, I must tell you, call immediately. Don't wait. Don't be alone in that big black hole. And don't say to yourself, I'll wait and see if it gets better. It doesn't get any better. Call and get help. Don't be alone. And, you know, when you're alone like that, you have to say things you don't mean. Some people call that a lie. I just say, I didn't really mean it that way. I meant to pay the bank. I meant to pay back my house. I meant to tell my wife. I meant to tell my husband. I meant to whatever it is. Don't be alone with that anymore. All of us are trying to do the right thing here. And sometimes people get stuck. You know, they get into, who knows, they get into drugs, alcohol, bad relationships, gambling. Those things will kill a company. Those things will kill a life. And, you know, I address those immediately. And we deal with it, man. We get people out of trouble. Now, may I say, I get most people out of trouble. What they do when they get out of trouble is definitely the measure of the man, okay?
Do you have recidivism? Do you get people that you've helped and then they screw up again and you have to come back in?
The way it works is I have people that stay with me for a long time.
Yeah.
Sometimes I laugh with them and I say, who do I pay to get off of this job? And, you know, because I'm a guy that's not there all the time and I'm very cost effective. So, you know, it's great to have a guy like me around for, you know, it doesn't cost the company, the corporation that much money. However, sometimes I get people that want to go right back to their old habits. Now, this is very critical. That was a very good question. I have been in this business for 20-something years. I now say 20-something because I'm not going to get any older anymore. I'm sick and tired of being old.
Okay? Exactly, so, like the rest of us.
20-something years, okay? Forget about the something is the something, okay? And I am qualified to say the following to all that are listening. Everybody gets a second chance. But a second chance happens one time. Don't spend your second chance on shenanigans, man. People that stay with me, they make mistakes and we fix them. We make some more mistakes. We go back. We try to fix our old habits and we do all those sorts of things, and but we stay together. As long as you stay together and you stay on the path, you're good. Like I always say, the yellow brick road takes you to Oz, but Oz is only the first stop, man. Where you stop to get a water bottle. There's all kinds of stuff on the other side of Oz. But those people that decide, those people that tell me, hey, you know what? Thanks for getting me out of trouble, brother, and I got it from here. I hope they do. I hope they do. But generally, they go back to their old habits, and it's a terrible spiral out, and I'm sad. Now, it's a small fraternity that get fixed. They stay straight. They stay on the straight and narrow. And I hope that whoever's listening is one more person who is allowed and loves to be in that fraternity. It's a great prize to be in such a fraternity that actually turns around. Your family stays together. You stay together. Your company stays together. Your heart is restored. It's a bossa nova life, and why would anybody want anything else, you know?
I gotcha. Are there any industries that are easier or harder to turn around?
Very interesting question. You guys are good this morning. Man, you guys have had your coffee. The stuff that's hard to turn around is people that go shopping with me. So let's say I give you five things to do. Those are directives. They're not suggestions. They're directives. If you take two out of five, not so good. Now, why people get in trouble, this is why it's good, a very good question. There's a list that happens every day in every company, and that list is what needs to be done for the corporation. Now, on that list, there might be 10 things. Well, out of 10 things, a CEO likes to do about three of them. He doesn't like to do the other seven, so he doesn't really do them. And so he gets himself in trouble. Now, why doesn't he do that? Well, he might not be very good at it. He might not, or he might just not like it. But in a day, you have to prepare yourself for produce, deliver, and collect, taxes, insurance, quality control problems, people problems, relationship problems, family problems, health problems. There are a number of different things that have to be dealt with during the day. Well, when I get to a guy, many of those things have not been addressed in a long time. We might have tax problems. We might have insurance problems. We might have health problems. We might have a legal problem. We definitely have money problems. So when I tell a guy these are the three things we got to do today, it is best that he does them. And I will help him do them. I won't leave him alone. I'll help him do them. But if he decides to do two out of three, that means I've got one left to do tomorrow, and so on and so forth. The guys that don't take the directives, it takes a little longer. And who wants to take the time? My goodness sakes, you know? I mean, how much time do we actually have here? I've already pointed out to you that it's been 20-something years. I mean, I don't want to be saying anything else, you know?
Yeah. Patrick, one question for you. There is a philosophy in business out there that says that the entrepreneur is probably not the best person to take a growing company to the next level, to a higher level, or to a Fortune 500, if you will, level. What are your thoughts on that? And is there any suggestions that you have to somebody who tries their hardest, but maybe they cannot get into that philosophy mindset, which is a little bit more rigorous and a little bit more, if you will, financially focused? And is there any hope for those type of people?
All right, let's break your question down. First of all, people, is there, there is a school of thought that says entrepreneurs maybe are not qualified to take a company from the beginning to a Fortune 500 company. Whoever says that, shoot them, okay? Shoot them. Okay, number one. An entrepreneur, if you look at CNN or many other companies, an entrepreneur is the nut. It takes a company from the beginning to the ladder. The only thing he needs along the way is information. He needs information, because any kind of a nut that would start a company and put up with the grease that you have to put up with in an economic life that we're in is definitely tuned in to that kind of job. He's wired to do that. Now, what happens is our CEOs run out of information. They kind of top out what they can get away with. And so they have kind of done it by the seat of their pants. But if you go out and hire people that are knowledgeable at what you don't know, there is no end to what you can do, because that moxie is only in a certain kind of person. And that kind of person cannot, if there was a Fortune 600 company, that's the kind of person that takes a company to Fortune 700 and 800. You know, the guy that, there is no such thing as a handoff. Hey, I've done it from here. You're the Fortune 500 guy. Baloney. There's nobody waiting out there that's like, hey, I'm no good till you're a Fortune 500 company, and then I kick in. Hey, you know, a four-barrel carburetor is the bomb, and it's good at 5 miles an hour or 105 miles an hour. These crazy people that run companies, they are the bomb. Now, if you can load those guys up with some super duper kind of tactical moves and some information about money and how to handle legally and how, here's the big one, common sense. Whoa. If you can load these guys up with some common sense, whoa, nothing can stop them. Nothing can stop them.
Patrick, this is great. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you to ask, you know, some questions, or maybe they're in trouble and they need some help, what's the best way to reach you?
Okay, now this is very scientific. We come to this. This is new breaking ground. I'm going to give you my telephone number.
Oh, you still have those?
Like I said, we are breaking new ground here. This. Day one of a whole new era. Are you ready for my telephone number?
Please.
I will answer the phone, okay? Area code 760-662-9668. No. Now, you can hit the website at thereticcorporation.com, and my name is spelled R-E-T-T-I-G, and you can study up on what you're in for if you're crazy and daring enough to call me. But make no mistake, as in the old days of Disneyland when they had e-tickets and they had different tickets, and the e-ticket was the fastest one, you know, like if you bought the e-tickets, you could go on the big fast ride. This is an e-ticket ride, and I am here to save the day, to make corporations better, and to make my America stronger with the entrepreneurs that live in it.
We love it. That's great. And Patrick, would love to have you back and maybe talk about some cases that you worked on. And this could be a very interesting segment, because you got a great attitude, and we believe in the same thing. We're helping entrepreneurs, and that's what it's all about, for job creation and making things happen. So I really enjoyed this interview, and keep saving American companies, will you?
Well, let me leave you with one sentence before I go. I thank you, number one, for the interview. I thank you very much. You guys were really, really fun this morning and very inspiring that a couple of guys like this can call me in the middle of the morning here and be this cool. But let me leave you with this. Let me leave all of us with this. Common sense is not so common, and stupid is very, very expensive. Waste no time. Call right now.
That's great. Okay. Thank you, Patrick.
And, thanks, Patrick.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back on Mind Your Own Business on the UR Business Network.
The UR Business Network. We mean business.